Okay, here we go.
I'd just like to say, it's such a blessing every year. I've been blessed to go since they started the men's conference. We were trying to decide if it started in 2009 or 2010, but anyway, it's been 8 or 9 conferences, and it's been just a wonderful time. Brother Waterloo had such a tremendous challenge for us men as grandfathers and fathers and husbands, just to live and with the principles to guard our Christian principles and give them to our family. There's a lot of things that we have sown already, but there's a lot of things that we can still sow and reap good things from them. And we just got to keep on keeping on with it. And that's really what I got out of that second message yesterday afternoon. It was, he's got such a tremendous way of getting across here. He's a good speaker, and he just hit home. It was Esther, but you know, we always think that Esther was the one that was the star there, but it really was Mordecai. He's the one that had the principles, and he's the one that made her aware of the things that she needed to do. She was young. She had a lot to lose. But he just came, from the get-go, he gave her the right principles, and she did do what she needed to do. That's one of the many things I got. The message.
Amen. Anyone else? Brother Hall. Yes, Brother Hall.
Again, the men's conference is and has always been a blessing to me and my son and me. We always use that time to get away. It was just me and him, and we had a good time with that. And the messages, they were all good, just like you said. They all touched the areas that I needed the most. And the one message that really, really stuck out was the last message, which was, we're not the exception. A lot of times we feel like just because, God hasn't judged us yet, based on our sins, and it doesn't mean that he's not going to. His rule still applies. You sow what you reap, and a lot of times we're still reaping what we've sowed. And he's saying that, just like Brother Duffy said, a lot of times people say things are hard now, and then he said his advice once he counsels individuals is to, hey, sow new crops, So we aren't the, and I am not the exception to the rule, and the only exception to the rule is when you get, you have Jesus Christ and you depend on him and his grace. But a lot of times we just feel like we can just do whatever we want, and things are good, and I'm healthy, and things aren't going to happen, if I'm doing wrong. But God's law hasn't changed and will not change, and I am not the exception to the rule, and I just thank God for it.
Amen.
I had a good time at the meeting, and we just got to go there, and then we got to sing. I especially like singing every time we go to the conference, because everyone's voice is so deep, and it's like you can feel it in your stomach, and it just rattles in there. And but I also go to the teen classes, and that was a blessing. just knowing that all the little things matter, that all the even because God's working on you for the little things like your chores and making up your bed and cleaning your shoes and all that.
Amen.
And he's working on you for a better blessing. That kind of reminded me of the song, He's Still Working on Me.
Amen.
And I just had a good time. I got to read a challenger. That was really fun. So I'm glad to have time. I was glad that I got to spend time with my dad and my friend. So.
Amen. We'll take one more so we can dismiss class and give it those that didn't this morning. Maybe have a chance tonight as well. Anyone else want to go for this morning? Okay, you go tonight. All right, well, with that said, what we'll do this morning, we'll dismiss the classes and we'll get started in the Sunday school hour. I'll share some things as we go along in the lesson. But a lot of times as men, and when it comes to the house of God, we can discourage others.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of that has to do with even maybe some of what we'll talk about this morning in our Sunday school hour. I think sometimes we as Christian, especially we as Christian men, we have to be careful as much as we may not think that we owe it to anyone, but we owe it to the Lord not to be a discouragement to other people. And God tells us about the importance of defrauding a brother or sister. And we can have a discouraging heart or discouraging attitude, and it can be detriment to what goes on in the house of God and what goes on in our homes, what goes on into our lives, what goes on in our family. And that was a tremendous message because he just gave, I think he gave, what, about 5 or 6 different points of different things how we can be a discourager. And with that said, this morning, I want to talk to you about something. I know I didn't teach this lesson to our teenagers in the teen class. I don't know whether Brother Joe did it or whether Brother Hall did, but again, God laid a challenge on my heart about the importance of having a pure heart. And as I thought about this time that I would have to teach in the adult class, you know, it's different working with teenagers, but it's even more different working with the little kids.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask all of y'all to sit up. Don't hit and touch each other, right? No, just kidding. But this morning, I want to talk to you about it, and I believe it'll be a blessing to us. And we think about it this way. And y'all heard me say it many of times. I look back in my life, and I thank God that I got saved. But I thank God that he saved me when he did. But at the same time, I've always said it to our young people, you have the greatest privilege in the world that you are in the house of God. You're being instructed from the word of God, and you have an opportunity to receive something I didn't get when I was growing up. And a lot of us are older men that got saved in our adult lives. We have a lot of scars from decisions and choices that we made. And it kind of goes along with what Brother Ken was saying and what Brother Hall was saying. You know, when you make mistakes, there's still a reaping and sowing as to what you have done, even in the past. But the encouragement this morning ought to be that you ought to sow some new fruit. You ought to sow some new things in your life to bring forth some fruit from this point on. I may not be able to go back and change what has happened in the past, but I can start anew today by sowing the right crops and sowing the right things that I can reap the benefits from. And this morning, as I want to share with you about the importance of having a pure heart, because when I think about the pure heart, let's take our Bibles, and I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4 is an area that we're going to use as our text this morning about the importance of having a pure heart. The importance of having a pure heart. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it's not going to be one thing that we do this morning that you probably have not heard. It may not be something that I would say, but I hope that it would be something to refresh us or to encourage us about the importance of having a pure heart. It's just like when we were at the conference, maybe there were some things and passages of scriptures and things that were said, but you know, when you go there, just the kind of things that happen is things that you need to be reminded of, because we have a tendency to forget what we ought to be he doing? And I think it's not by chance that it just happened, but when God continues throughout Scripture to remind us of some of the same practices, the same mistakes that were made in the biblical days are being done here, even in our society today. But the answer to what is the problem is still the Word of God. And if we want to do what God, I believe that God would have us to do this morning, is to think about what this verse says, because it is important. In verse chapter number 4 and verse 23, it says this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of it is the issues of life. It has the idea here, as we look at it, the word there, keep, has the idea that we need to guard. We need to be careful about how and what we allow to influence our heart. Our hearts. I think about when God created Adam and Eve, and he put him in the garden, and he told Adam about the importance of to keep a watch and to guard his home and his family, because what Adam didn't do, he allowed the devil to come into his home and family, and it devastated not only his family, but it devastated us as a nation, as a people of God, because he wasn't where he ought to be, doing what he ought to do. And if he uses that same terminology when he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, he's telling us about the importance of guarding our heart, because out of it are the issues of life. And the decisions that you and I are going to make in our life are going to be based on how we allow our hearts to influence the decisions that we make. Amen? Because it's going to be every choice, every decision, every direction, everything that you do in your Christian life, you're going to go back to this old heart, and you're going to make the decision out of that, because the issues are going to come every day. And we got to have our hearts pure in order to do what God would have us to do, and do the right thing. I want you to think about it this morning. What is a pure heart? I believe that as we looked at the study with the teenagers, one of the things that we talked about from the book was discovering your destiny was the whole crux of the study. But I pray one day that if I don't do it, Pastor get it, and we go through the whole book just like we did with the teenagers, because I believe that a lot of us, again, that have got saved in our lateral times in our life, there are so many wonderful principles that are in this lesson. And I felt like this morning, throughout the time that I knew that Pastor was going to be gone, this would be a lesson that I believe that would be a help to us this morning. And it's the issues of life. I want you to think about it. Everybody was watching me when I came came into the church this morning. And why am I taking this toolbox? And why have I got this hammer? Well, when I went to get it out of the cabinet, the hammer was on top of the toolbox. Amen? But I want you to think about it. Our hearts are a tool that God wants to use. Amen? It is a tool that God has given. In other words, it's like a gift that God has given to us, but it's a tool that God wants to use in order to help us in this Christian life. So if he's given us the tools and the whereabout, we can do what it is that God wants us to do, but we got to do our part. And our hearts are a tool in the hands of God that he might accomplish that which he wants to do. I want you to think about it this morning. It has this idea. Let me say it so we get it right. Your heart is a tool made by God for a specific purpose. It really is. It was made by God, and it's for a specific purpose. I want you to think about it this morning. When I say that our hearts are the place where you and I are going to turn to, it is what makes us up. It allows you to feel life emotions, decisions, discerning life's desires, and decide life's directions. Because that's where you're going to get it from. That's where we're going to go to do these things that we're talking about. And unless you're dead here today, which you might be dead and when we think about coming to life and being born again, but unless you're dead here, your spiritual heart functions every day, helping you turn to the decisions that you're going to make. I want you to think about four things this morning that make up the seed of your heart, and that is, of your heart is, you feel, he gives us an idea here, your heart, he tells us, to keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think about some of the issues that you and I are faced with every day. Your heart feels life's emotions. So your heart is a filler. Your heart discerns life's desires. So your desires and wants are what your heart is going to be steered to, because that's what is in your heart. So what your wants is, you ought to want to please God and not please yourself. But if your heart is not pure, you're going to make selfish decisions, because it is so easy for us as Christians to go back to the flesh. Because that's what makes us who we are. I was thinking about it today. I was thinking about it last week. I think about last month. A lot of times, we make poor decisions because we don't have a pure heart. We really don't. So we got to work at it. And we ought to surrender our hearts to God, because we're going to do we're going to make our feelings can get in the way, our desires. So we got our hearts going to be is our warner. Our decisions are there. Our hearts decide life's directions for us. So it's a chooser for us. Your heart includes your intellect. So my thinking is going to be based on what's in my heart. Because he tells me, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Out of it are the issues of life. So, when we think about that this morning, and it's going to be here for a couple of weeks that we'll talk about it, I want you to think about it this morning. We can do one of two things when it comes to our heart. And I want to share some other things, which is some other thoughts, because literally your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your heart is what you feel, it is what you want, it is what you think, and it's your it will in results be what your actions are. The way you think and feel in your adult life is determined by your heart. And I think about this morning, as I said, when growing up, I know I made some bad choices in my life. And no matter what happens that has happened in the past, I can't go back and change it. But what I can do is surrender my heart to God, so that I can make better choices. I can plant some better crops, so that I can reap some fruitful heart, fruitful things in my life from this point on. And it ought to be our desire. I'm going to shorten it up just a little bit this morning to get to a point that I want to make and help. Hope to be a help to you. I've got about seven things that I want to talk about, and I'm not going to try to include all of them this morning. But there are a couple of them that I want us to talk about this morning. In order for you to make right decisions in the days ahead, you must understand your heart and how it functions. You must understand the dangers of your heart and how to keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it truly are the issues of life. I want us to think about it this morning. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7. That's going to be our first point that we'll make this morning. I want us to think about it this morning. The first point I want us to make is to talk to you about the visibleness of your heart. The visibleness of your heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord looketh not on man, look not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? On the heart. Let me say this morning. We can do one of two things. We can be a man pleaser, or we can be a God pleaser. When I say a man pleaser, a lot of times we worry about the outwardly what people see. And we can take it to the extreme that we're so concerned about what people see, we forget what people don't see. And the person that sees the don't see, because I don't know what's in Brother Hall's heart, I don't know what's in Brother Neil's heart, but you know who does know what's in your heart? God knows what's in your heart. And it just boggles my mind, because I'm guilty of it as well. When you sin and you worried about Brother White or Pastor White seeing what you're doing, think about what God sees, not about what I see. Because I can come this morning and I got my shoes on, I got a suit on, I got a tie on, and I hope I appear to look okay to you. I think I look okay. Amen. But that's not really who I am. And you can see that on the outside and it looks good. But God is looking at your heart. He's looking at your heart. So when he sent his man to go and choose a man that he was going to make king, he said, don't look at his stature, don't look at his outward appearance, because you're going to look at those things and you might make a choice in choosing a king. But I'm looking at another thing. I'm looking at his heart. The good thing. Because out of it, what are the issues of life? If he's going to be king, I need somebody that's going to be on the kingship that's going to have a heart for me. And David was one of those that had a what? A heart after God, as the Bible tells us. So we can be a man pleaser or we can be a God pleaser. I can look good on the outside. Well, I got to watch this thing. It's like it's sneaking up on me behind here. Amen. So the first extreme that we look at here this morning that I want to point out is the fact that God sees your heart is not a license for you to live wrong outwardly. Amen. It's a reason to make sure that my right living is genuinely from the heart. You know, we've said it many times, and most of us, and Pastor Neil, I know he said it before. You know, what you wear says a lot about what's in your heart. And you can say, it don't matter, because God looks at my heart. So it doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. But it does. Because if your heart is right with God, you're going to wear something that reflects what's in your heart. If you want to show it all, then that means that you may not be what you ought to be as a Christian if that is how you dress. But if you want to dress to where you look appropriately as a Christian woman or a Christian man, because men, we need to do the same thing. We always harp at the women, but men, we're just as guilty. We need to wear things that are appropriate, because you know what? It's going to be a reflection of what's in your heart. So the outward appearance is important. And I'm not trying to dispel that, but it ought not be the main focus. Amen?
Amen.
So y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
So we need to be discerned about the outward appearance as well, and not take it to such an extreme that it gives us a license to just live any kind of way. Because you can live one way in the house and live another way outside of the house. Amen? And I can go around and want everybody to see me and I look good on the outside, but I'm just rotten to the core on the inside. And that's what God sees. And he didn't want that kind of a person. Okay? So that's one of the extremes. The other extreme that this verse is telling us, he says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. The other extreme here is that some people focus on the external and performance as the standard for spiritual growth and nearness to God. Wow. What is he talking about here? I can be as far from God in my heart and look good on the outside, but my heart is just as far from God as it could ever be. And that's another extreme that I can go to, because I think nobody sees me. So what have I got to do as a Christian this morning when I think about that, because it's important to God? I can be as far from God. This way of thinking is to conform so that people will accept me. And many of us today, I remember past growing up, when it talking about being man pleasers, you ever remember growing up and you wanted everybody in your high school or in your class, you wanted everybody to accept you, you wanted to look good for them, you wanted to be the popular person, you wanted all of that. So what you did was, you conformed to the world, but the Bible tells not, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I don't need to be a conformer. I need to be a transformed Christian so that God can use me, because he's looking for the pure at heart. That's the person that God was looking for when he sent him looking for a king. So it's important. But you know, it's not easy to do that. We got to work at it. And you know, but you know, anything really that's worth having in the Christian life means that sometimes we got to sacrifice. But you know what? He's worth it. He's worth it. Because I think about what I didn't have until I found Jesus. It's worth letting all of that go. Because he's worth it all. When I think about what he did for me. So the visibleness of the heart is important, because it's not what you all see. It ought to be what God sees. And you can't hide from God. It's amazing to me that so many of us as Christians work so hard at conforming that we want to make sure nobody else thinks that we having any struggles. We don't nobody else think that we're having any problems. But you know what? If you're human and you're a child of God, you're going to have some issues. We're not exempt because we're Christians. We're not the exception because we're Christians. We're the blessed, really, because we are, because of what he's done for us. And I want to be a tool in the hand of God that he can use. I don't want to be anything that he can't use. Brother Serge, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'd never, until this week, been cussed out, called names, things said about me that I wouldn't want to be said about me. But I realized something. When you're living for God, because that's my greatest desire, people not going to like you. And I think about what Jesus went through and what they said about him. I am thankful today, not because of myself, but I'm thankful because of who he is, that somebody would say what they said about me because of who Christ is. You know what? I work at it every day, and I hope you do, because that's the balance that we need in our Christian life, that we can be an example that other people see. Because they're looking at everything that you say, everything that you do, they're looking at it. And I praise God that somebody saw something in me that they want to call me names, say all kind of disrespectful things to me because you're trying to act like a Christian. Praise God. Because he's worth it. And I'm every day I'm worried about disappointing God. But he showed me something this week that it's worth it. It's not all disappointing. Maybe somebody's got convicted. And I'm not going to let my light not stop shining because of what somebody said. Jesus still went to the cross. When they beat him to death, he still went to the cross and he died for me. So I'm gonna keep it at that level. And I'm going to ask God to just use me just a little bit more, because he's worth it. The visibleness of your heart is important to God. And he wants it. He don't want to take it from you. He wants you to give it to him. And you ought to be willing to give it to him. Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. And he wants your heart. So what we need to do as Christians, God wants us to walk worthy of the calling. He wants the world to see you and your good works, that you might glorify him, because he's in heaven. He's left us here to be the ones that glorify him. Let your light so shine that other people might see your good works and you glorify your Father which is in heaven. And be not conformed to this world, because they get mad because you don't want to listen to that filthy music. I don't want to listen to that filthy conversation that I stood up for. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not. They can live the way that they want to. I have every right as a citizen, but I have a right as a citizen of the heaven to live for Christ in my work area, and I'm not going to let anybody take that away from me. They can have the job. They can have everything. Because if they take it, it won't be because they took it. It's because God decided to take it. But I believe when you stand up for the Lord, you give God the opportunity to work in your life that he never will any other way, because you give him something that he wants, and that is your life, and with your life comes your heart. That's what comes along with it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The visibleness of your heart. It is so important to God. And people, you know, as he says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, it says, hear what he said. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Don't let that be said about you. You know, we can walk around, and I was sharing, Pastor, I don't go around and try to beat people up with the Lord, but you know what? I'm not going to stop being the Christian that God has called me to be. And I try to help this individual in every way that I have since I've been knowing it. Matter of fact, I led him to the Lord. But what is eating away at him, this person, is that they see Christ in me. And it bothers them every day. Because, again, I keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. And what's in the heart is going to come out. So what he was saying was really what is bothering him in his heart, because he knows that his heart is not right with God. And what he's doing is he's seeing one person, and I give the glory to God, not to myself. He sees it in a life, and he wants it, but he knows that he's not doing what he ought to do. You know, Brother Neil, I thought about Friday night when we were sitting out there at the table. And here is, there's a man sitting between me, and there's Brother Neil, and there's another man on the side of Brother Neil, and then there's another man beside this man, beside the man that's beside Brother Neil. Y'all got it? All right, give y'all a test after a while. And here's Pastor. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, Brother Neil, you know, we talk about what goes on in the conference and what we get out of the conference, but I find myself there with the young man that I was talking to. I was encouraging him because he was wanting to give up. I look at Brother Neil, and I don't know what his conversation was, but they were engulfed in it. Because when you go sometimes, it's not so much that you are a recipient, but you might need to be a giver. Because somebody else needs to be encouraged by your walk, and that is my desire. And Pastor is talking to this other man. And we just having a good old time of fellowshipping with brothers in Christ. And what a blessing that was. What a blessing it was. So when I think about what God wants us to do as Christians, this toolbox here ain't mine, but I'm just show you, right?
Yep.
It's got some tools in it. I can get it open. And it ain't, man, you know, it's probably a little bit less than the average toolbox. But you know, sometimes life's issues might need a screwdriver. Amen. Because you might have to turn something. You might have to turn your life around. Because you're heading in the wrong direction. And your heart is not right with God. And you need to turn it around. Sometimes we kind of like hard-headed. And God has to... Our heart's like a hammer. It's hard. And we want to do our own thing. Amen? And then there's some needle nose pliers. I didn't know all this was in here, so y'all getting something else, right? Might just need to clip off some things. God may need to do some pruning. because my heart is not right. So he may need to do some pruning. Here's a vice grip. Sometimes it needs to be some adjustments. But sometimes I might start out wide, amen, and then that next a decision that I need to make, I need to just close it up a little bit. And y'all know how to use vice grip. You just kind of turn it in just a little bit more, and then it'll close and it'll grip onto what it is that you put it on. But you know, that's what life's issues are all about. And we got to guard our hearts so that when those issues come, we can make decisions that's going to be pleasing to God. And I haven't yet seen not one area of my life that God, and I'm going to share it with you this morning in the morning's message, that God was not allowing you to deal with something that was totally different than what you thought you'd have to deal with. But he wants your heart. And so for me to make the right decisions and the right choices, I need to understand who's looking at my heart. Because it's God. It's not what you all see that's really who I am. But who really sees who I am is God. So is your heart pure this morning the way that it ought to be? Because he's looking at it. What does he see in your heart? We can conform to this world. We can look good. We can work at it. You know, and I find it this way, and I'm going to close because I think it's just about that time. I mean, I got a few more minutes, right? I remember growing up, and you always wanted what somebody else had, and you always wanted to make sure that you draw attention. You want people to respect you. You want it to be with the crowd. You want it to wear the things that everybody wear. You wanted to go to places where you thought everybody went. Because every time you went somewhere where you thought it was a crowd, that's the place where you needed to be. Most of the time, it probably wasn't where you needed to be. But that's the way we lived when we was growing up. But as a Christian, there's some things that I don't want to be exposed to. And what I was trying to share with that individual, I don't have to listen to that music that takes me back to where I used to be. That's not going to help me spiritually. I'm not going to listen to those filthy things that you want to listen to and think that it's okay. I'm not going to do that. But it has to be my desire to want that. And don't let the world conform you. As Pastor and I was writing, we was talking about even this lesson, as we're talking about this morning, as he was talking about Wednesday night, we're living in a culture that they want us, even as Christians, to accept this culture. But we don't have to accept it when it's contrary to the word of God and the things of God. So we see here the visibleness of the heart. But I want you to think about it tonight. I don't think we'll preach on it tonight. But I want you to think about the visibleness. But I want you to think about the deceitfulness of the heart. Because the Bible also tells us that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our hearts can deceive us and draw us away from God's will. Would you agree?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Yes, it will. Because I could have let that situation that elevated, and I had to stop, pray, as I told Brother Hall, and calm down. And I just start laughing at it. Because I could have let that old man rise up and act out. I told him, Brother Serge, he's talking about, and I won't use the language that he did. Back in the day, I told Brother Hall, it took everything in me to restrain from telling him, back in the day, you wouldn't have just walked up on me any kind of way either.
Because
I ain't always been saved. But I could take care of myself. But that would have been the right thing to say. But you know what?
That's right.
God don't want us to be wimps.
That's right, he doesn't.
And he'd have put his hands on me. He wouldn't have wished he'd have put his hands on me. Because I'm going to defend myself.
Yes,
praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
But you know what? With that same vigor, I have to realize that he needs Jesus. Really, that's what he needs. And I need Jesus to help me to have the right heart Because you're going to face issues. So how are you going to face and handle the issues that you're facing in life? I don't know where you are this morning, but every one of us got some issues in our lives. Would we agree?
Yes, sir.
And we want to make right decisions. We want to move in the right direction. So how are we going to get it? We're going to only get it if we allow God to help us with making those. But we got to keep our hearts pure and the way that God can use it. I want you to think about them. Just give you a couple of them. And one of them I've already talked about this morning. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter number 5, when God looked at the world and he decided that it was what? Evil. Continually evil. See, our hearts can direct us into doing what? Evil. Because that's what they did. And the reason why God destroyed the earth was because of the evil and wickedness that man was displaying, because it was in his what? It was in his heart. So you think about that this morning. I think about, as we talked about, Brother Neil, as we talked about discouragement. Numbers chapter number 32 and verse 7 talks about discouraging. And that verse is talking about not so much that you're discouraging yourselves, but you're discouraging the hearts of other people. That's why it's so important for us to be in the house of God. That's why it's so important for us to walk with the Lord. And I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but it ought to be your desire, because you can discourage another brother or sister because you're not doing what you ought to do. And somebody's always watching you. That's why, that's why I got the resistance that I got on Friday. And I praise God for it. And I'm not going to back down. Because if it gets too loud, I'm going to bring it up. And might just do what we did Friday or Thursday anyway. I'm going to close with this. Here it was. The music was playing. And I've already told them. And I'm not saying it be boastful. Don't get it wrong. I'd already told the guys in there, y'all listen to music I don't want to hear. You got a headbanger. You got the oldies. You got the hip hop. You got all of this in there. Put your headsets on and listen to what you want to hear. I like peace and quiet so I can meditate on the things of God and the word of God. I got enough going on in my mind. And he got up, his headset playing so loud, the music still loud coming out of the headset. And that was the issue that I was addressing. Pour the thing out. I still don't want to hear. I'm still listening to it. And that's where it all started. That's where it all started. I'm not going to listen to it. Go over there that day, because he wasn't even in the office. That's the sad thing. He wasn't even in the office listening to it. He left it on. We went over there, and I wasn't the only one. We had to unplug it because everybody was saying, what is that music coming from? But because I'm the ordained pastor, you the this and you the that and you the this, you think you own the place. I'm just trying to live for Jesus.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Because he's worth it. Yes. And just the caveat, the piggyback, and we're gonna close, is that all the other people were okay with it until this guy came into the office, because he wasn't always in there. But that's where it started.
Yes, sir.
But again, Brother Serge, we still have the right to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We seriously still do. And if we don't stand up for what we believe to be right, the world will try to take that culture and influence you with it. And to conform you to what they want you to be. I want to be transformed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it begins right here with your thinking.
Amen.
Because out of the heart are the issues of life.
Out of life. That's right, Pastor.
That's where they are.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for this morning. We thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And God, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. And I pray that you work and bless throughout the remainder of the services this morning. Pray you be with our pastor again as we preach and as he's preaching and teaching the word of God there. I pray that you meet with us this morning and we can all can leave here again in the morning hour and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And if you tarry your coming, Lord, that anyone that would beckon these doors this morning that do not know Christ the Savior, God, I pray that this would be today, that they would make this decision, a decision for you, before it's eternally too late. Bless now, I pray, even the snacks that we partake of between the services. In Jesus' name, for his sake.
Amen. Amen.